بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Our dear respected brothers and sisters, نحييكم بتحية الإسلام وتحية الإسلام. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We welcome you all to this reminder in the conference of 2020 set up by Masjid Tawfiq and Masjid Tayba and Masjid Al-Salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us and to assist us. The unwan and the topic of this conference is Fafirru ilallah. And we are honored to have Sheikh Dr. Muhammad Hisham Al-Tahiri, Hafidhahullah ta'ala, min al-Kuwait. And the Sheikh Allah has a PhD from the Islamic University of Medina, and he will be enlightening us, alhamdulillah, with his appearance in these days of the conference. Today, inshallah, where he will go through the text of Calling to Islam, which is Sheikh al-Imam al-Sa'di, Al-Da'watu ila al-Din al-Islam. And then after that, the Sheikh will be going through Al-Qawa'i al-Arba'a on Friday and on Saturday, bidnillah. فنشكر فضيلة الشيخ لحضوره ولقبول هذه الدعوة، ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن ينفع به الإسلام والمسلمين. نخبره أن بالنيابة عن مسجد توفيق في بريطانيا وعن المساجد المتعاونة في هذا المؤتمر المبارك، مسجد السلام في داربي ومسجد طيبة في ليستر، نقول لكم جزاكم الله خير وإنا نحبكم في الله، ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجمعنا وإياكم على خير. وبدون الإطالة إن شاء الله نعطي الفرصة ونعطي الكلمة لفضيلة شيخنا الدكتور محمد هشام الطاهري حفظه الله، فليتفضل مشكورا مهجورا ونفع الله به.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه واقتفى أثره إلى يوم الدين وبعد. فشكر الله للإخوة في هذا المسجد المبارك في إقامتهم هذه الدورة، وأسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يجعل ذلك في موازين حسناتهم، وأن يجعل ذلك سببا لقربهم من الله سبحانه وتعالى. وأنا قبل البدء أشكرهم على استضافتهم لي، وأسأل الله الكريم رب العرش العظيم أن يجعلني خيرا مما تظنون، وأن يغفر لي ما لا تعلمون. وبعد، فهذه الرسالة التي بين أيدينا وهي بعنوان الدعوة إلى الدين الإسلامي هي وظيفة كل مسلم على وجه الأرض من حيث العموم بما يعلمه وما يؤمن به وبقدر ما عنده من العلم يدعو إلى دين الله تبارك وتعالى، لا سيما الإخوة الذين يعيشون في بلاد الكفار في الغرب وغيرها، فإن عليهم أن يدركوا أن وظيفتهم الأساسية هي الدعوة إلى دين الله تبارك وتعالى قولا وقالبا سبيلا ومسلكا. ونقرأ هذه الرسالة إن شاء الله تبارك وتعالى لنتنور بما سيقوله الإمام الشيخ عبد الرحمن ابن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى. نعم.
Praises are due to Allah. We praise Him, and we bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is His slave and messenger. To proceed, I give thanks to the brothers at this blessed masjid for the opportunity of this seminar and for putting on this seminar. Just as I ask Him the Most High to make them hope for Allah's reward in doing so, and that Allah makes them sincere in their doing so. And I thank them for this introduction, and I ask Allah to make me better than they think of me, and to forgive that which they do not know of me. And to move on, the subject of this treatise that we'll be looking at is the essence of this treatise is the work, the fundamental duty of every Muslim upon the face of the earth, and that is to call and propagate the religion of Islam in accordance to their ability. So whatever knowledge they may have, they should expend efforts to spread the knowledge that they have. And this is especially the case for those residing in the land of the non-believers. This is especially important, that they give importance to this work, and that they make calling to Allah, or they actualize calling to Allah with their statements, with their conduct, and in their mannerisms. And I hope that we will read this treatise, and I'll be able to explain some of the points put across by its author, the Sheikh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasser al-Sa'di. Na'am, Sheikh.
بدأ الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى هذه الرسالة ببيان أن الدعوة إلى الله تبارك وتعالى إنما تكون بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة والمجادلة بالتي هي أحسن، وهذا هو سبيل الدعوة، لأنه لا يمكن إدخال الدين الحق إلى قلوب الناس إلا بهذه الأمور الثلاثة، وهي التي وردت في آية سورة يوسف: قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني. نعم.
The Sheikh, may Allah have mercy upon him, he starts this treatise by drawing attention to the fact that calling to Allah the Most High, it's something that should be done with wisdom, with a good admonition, and in a debate, or a manner of debating and talking about the truth which is best. And this, then, that's because these are the three ways in which the people can accept Islam, and they can accept this type of following. And this has been referred to in the ayah, in the verse of the Quran, where Allah says that which means, say, O Muhammad, this is my way, I invite unto Allah with sure knowledge, me and whosoever follows me, and this is in Surah Yusuf, verse number 108. Naam, Shaykhana.
فإن قال قائل: فما وجه انحصار الدعوة إلى الله في هذه السبل الثلاثة؟ فالجواب قوله جل وعلا: ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. ولما كان الموضع موضع التفصيل والتقسيم ولم يذكر عداها، دل أن هذا هو طريق الدعوة إلى الدين الحق.
So if an individual were to ask, what's the evidence, or why is it that you say that calling to Allah and propagating his religion is encompassed only by these three ways, or these three manners of giving da'wah, or of calling to him, then our response is that Allah the Most High says in the Quran, and call or invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom, with a good admonition, and debate with them with that which is best. And this is a context which is a detailed context. It's not a general context, and this shows that these three methods, they are the methods in which we should invite to the way of Allah.
وعلامة الداعين إلى الله عز وجل ثلاث: الأول أنهم يدعون إلى توحيد الله عز وجل، وهو معنى سبيلي أدعو إلى الله. الثاني أنهم يدعون بعلم. الثالث أنهم يدعون بالاتباع دون الابتداع.
Who call to Allah are three. The first is that they call to his oneness, that they call to the worship of Allah to the exclusion of all else. And we benefit from this by the statement of Allah, where Allah says, I invite unto Allah, though this is my way, I invite unto Allah. The second characteristic of those who call to Allah is that they call based upon knowledge, and the third is that they call to following and adhering to the guidance rather than innovating into the guidance.
وَمَنْ كَانَ كَذَلِكَ فَإِنَّ حَالَهُ فِي الدَّعْوَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ كُلِّ الْعَامِلِينَ حتى من المجاهدين في سبيل الله عز وجل ومن العابدين القائمين الصائمين لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى قال ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين الجواب لا أحد.
And whosoever has these attributes and calls to Allah in such a manner that their condition and their status is better than the condition of everyone other than them. And this includes even those who strive in Allah's way. Even the condition of these callers is better than them. It's better even than those who are given to lots of worship, those who stand the long nights in prayer, those who fast. Their condition is superior and is better to them. This is because Allah says in the Quran, and who is better in speech than he who says, my Lord is Allah, and then stands straight, and then invites people to Allah, and does righteous deeds, and says, indeed, I am one of the Muslims. And the answer to this question, i.e., who is better in speech than this person, the answer is that there are none better in speech, or there are none better than this person.
وهذه الوظيفة وهي الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل يجب أن يتحلى بها أكثر من واحد من هذه الأمة حتى يصلوا إلى أداء الفرض الكفائي وذلك بأن يكونوا طائفة متفرقين في أبدانهم متحدين في مقاصدهم مختلفين في بلدانهم متحدين في دعوتهم إلى الله تبارك وتعالى وهذا هو معنى قوله ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف.
And this is the work and this is the responsibility that it's obligatory upon more than one individual in the Ummah to stand up with. Rather, it's the duty of a group of the from amongst the Ummah to stand up and give this call and invite to the way of Allah, such that a group should do this, such that this obligation it falls off the shoulders of the rest of the Ummah. This is a group that they may be of different countries, of different backgrounds, but their aim is one, their goal is one. And that is that they call to Allah the Most High. And Allah the Most High said, there should be a group from amongst you, who call to Allah, who call to that which is good, ordering the people with the good and forbidding them from evil, and they believe in Allah.
ولما كانت الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل فروعها كثيرة وأعمالها جسيمة كان لابد أن يكون هناك مختصين في الفنون متعددي العلوم حتى يدعو كل في مجال تخصصه. نعم. وكيف يدعو الإنسان إلى الدين الحق؟ أولا ببيان السيرة العطرة للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكيف نشأ في بيئة أمية لا تعرف القراءة والكتابة وهو لم يعرف قراءة ولا كتابة ولم يشارك في مسابقة شعرية ولا في مسابقة خطابية ثم أتى بمثل هذا القرآن الذي يعجز عن الإتيان بمثله الأطباء والدكاترة والفصحاء والبلغاء من العرب بل ومن العجم.
So how does a person call the religion of Allah and the religion of truth? Firstly, as a starting point, they can explain the life of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and his biography, his seerah. And this is because the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he was sent unto a people who were unlettered, or were not educated, and they were illiterate, such that they had no book, they had no revealed book to them, and they did not know the stories of old or the stories of Tawheed or any of the such. And the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, himself, he wasn't given to poetry, and he never partook in poetic competitions that they had at that time. So the fact that he came with this Quran that was so elegant, he was not given to poetry, it was something that was truly amazing and truly miraculous. This Quran that even the educated people of that time, and the Dakata, other people who know doctorates and PhDs at this time, they cannot compete with.
ولم يثبت عنه لا عند قومه الذين خالطوه أنه درس عند أحد أو أنه درس عند أهل الكتاب، ومع ذلك تجد أن عنده أخبار الأمم السابقة مما ليس عند أهل الكتاب، ويخالف أهل الكتاب في أشياء هي من المشهورات المتواترات في ظنهم، وهذا كله يدلنا على أنه لا ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى.
And it hasn't been authentically established that the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, studied with these poets, or the fact that he accompanied the book and studied with them. Yet he came and he brought the news of the people who had proceeded. He came with the news of the people of the book, with details that they themselves didn't have in their books. And in some matters, he actually differed from that which the people of the book had known or thought to have been in consensus. So they were agreed upon something. Yet the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, came with a revelation which proved that the case was otherwise. And this all indicates that the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, when he spoke, he didn't speak of his desires. Rather, it was a revelation that was revealed to him.
ثم ننظر إلى المنصفين من العرب الفصحاء لما سمعوا القرآن. علموا أنه كلام الله عز وجل فآمنوا، وكذلك الأخبار التي في كتاب الله عز وجل نظر إليها المنصفون من أهل الكتاب فعلموا أنه حق وصدق من الله عز وجل فآمنوا قديما وحديثا.
To those who were sincere from the Arabs of that time, those poets and those who were given to eloquence, those who were sincere, they knew that this was something special, this Quran, and then as a result of this, they believed in it. And similarly, those, the news of the people of the book, the details that it gave about the people of the book, those scholars of the people of the book who had sincerity, they knew when they read about it that it was sincerely from Allah, so they believed in it, and this is something that has happened in times of old and at present times as well.
الأمر الثاني أن يبين للناس كيف كان العرب قبل الإسلام يأكل ضعيفهم قويهم وليس لهم حضارة، وإنما يعيشون تحت الحضارة الرومانية أو الفارسية أو الحبشية، ثم لما تبعوا الدين الحق صار لهم حضارة وصار لهم مبادئ وصار لهم أخلاق، فهذا كله يدلنا على الدين الحق.
The second thing that the individual can draw attention to is that they explain that the Arabs before Islam, they had no cultivation, or they had no they weren't cultivated people. Rather, they lived under the shade of the Romans, or under the shade of the Persians, or under the shade of the Habasha, the Abyssinians. However, once the Deen al-Haq, the religion of truth, came to them, it cultivated them and it took them out of the shadows of these people.
الأمر الثاني أن ننظر إلى ما في هذا الدين من الأخلاق العظيمة. فجل قضية هذا الدين هو عبادة الله خالق السماء والأرض وعدم ذل الرقاب لأحد سواه سبحانه وتعالى.
And then we look to see that which this religion contains and that which it propagates from the acts of lofty character. So it propagates and it invites people to the worship of Allah alone and singly, and not to worship or direct any sort of or show any sort of submission in this sense to other than Allah.
الأمر الرابع الذي يدعو إلى الله عز وجل عليه أن يركز على قضية مهمة وهي أن هذا الدين يستطيع العيش تحته الأمم بشتى مللها بأمن وأمان فقد فتح المسلمون بلادا مثل الشام ومصر وإفريقيا وغيرها من البلاد وبقي من لم يرد الدخول في الإسلام على دينه إلى يومنا هذا يوجد اليهود والنصارى في بلاد المسلمين في أمن وأمان وهذا يدلنا على عظمة هذا الدين وذلك لأن حساب الخلق إذا هم لم يعارضوا الدين الحق على الخالق سبحانه وتعالى.
And the fourth matter is that we can realize and we can focus on the fact and this is a very important matter, that all of the different nations can live under Islam in a peaceful way. So all of the nations, despite their differing beliefs or their differing ethnicities, they can live under the banner of Islam in peace. So we see that Islam came and it ruled over the area of Palestine, Syria, Jordan, Egypt, over parts of Africa, and to this day, where there are these countries, these Islamic countries, there remain those who have not embraced Islam, yet they live in these Islamic countries in peace. And this shows and indicates the greatness of this religion and the greatness of the Creator, may He be glorified.
الأمر الخامس أن إذا تأملنا في أركان الإيمان وأركان الإسلام نجد أن هذه الأركان بمجموعها فيها صلاح النفس وصلاح البدن صلاح الحال وصلاح المآل صلاح الفرد والأسرة والمجتمع.
Is that when we think about and we consider the pillars of Iman, the pillars of faith, of Islamic faith, all of them, they contain within them that which can rectify the individual in their selves, the soul of an individual, the inner and the body of an individual. They will rectify the individual in the here and now, and also they will rectify their affairs in the hereafter. They will reform and rectify and complete the individual, the community, and the family, all of these levels.
الأمر السادس نركز في دعوتنا إلى الدين الإسلامي على قضية مهمة وهي أن الإسلام الدين الحق لم يربط النجاة بنسب ولا بلون ولا بقول ولا بمجرد اعتقاد، وإنما ربط النجاة بالإيمان والعمل. فمثلا نجد في الديانة البوذية غلبة التزكية النفسية حتى يهمل أتباعهم البدن فيتلفون، ولا نجد لهم مقاصد أخروية عظيمة، غاية ما يصلون إليه تناسخ الأرواح. ونجد في الديانة اليهودية أن النجاة لا تكون إلا للعرق، أو لا أن النجاة لا يكون إلا للعرق السامي. ونجد في الديانة النصرانية أن النجاة مرتبط بعقيدتك بأن المسيح هو المخلص. لكن في الدين الحق الدين الإسلامي النجاة مرتبط بإخلاصك لله عز وجل في العبادة ومتابعتك لأنبياء الله عز وجل ورسله.
The sixth point, and again this is a very important point and a significant one, is that the religion of Al-Islam, it doesn't connect being saved, or it doesn't connect being successful to an individual's color or a specific color of a specific type of people, nor does it tie success to a single statement that a person will make, nor does it tie success to a particular belief that an individual has. And we can look at examples. For example, in the Buddhist tradition, they emphasize this kind of spiritual well-being to the extent that this spiritual well-being it can have negative impacts upon the body, and the focus is so much on the present that they lose focus on the hereafter. In the Jewish tradition, savior is due to lineage, and that's it. In the Christian tradition, savior is through the belief that Jesus, the Son of Mary, is the savior, and he is Allah, etc., etc., as they believe. However, in Islam, savior is not connected to any one of these things. What will save an individual is their sincerity to Allah the Most High, and their following and adherence to that which the Messenger and the Messengers as a whole brought and propagated to the people.
ثم إذا أراد الداعي إلى الله عز وجل أن يكون لدعوته القبول والنشر، فعليه أن يتخلق بأخلاق الصحابة رضوان الله تعالى عليهم. فإن القبول للحق لا يتم إلا إذا كان مقدما على طبق من الأخلاق. ولذلك نجد أن الإسلام قد انتشر أينما ذهب الصحابة رضوان الله تعالى عليهم، لأن الناس إذا رأوهم ونظروا إليهم علموا عظمة هذا الدين وعظمة نبي الإسلام صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونحن ندرك بأن الغرب قد احتل بلاد الإسلام لما يقارب القرن من الزمان، ومع ذلك لما لم يكونوا حاملين للأخلاق السامية والأهداف العظيمة النبيلة لم يستطيعوا أن يدخلوا الديانة النصرانية إلى قلوب المسلمين، بل بقي المسلمون ولله الحمد على دينهم.
It's upon them to act and to emulate the character of the companions of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. And this is because acceptance of the truth and acceptance of one's call can only be successful if it is accompanied by a good degree of character. And we see from history that Islam is spread due to the character of those carrying it. So the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, when they travelled to other countries and different peoples saw them, these peoples looked at them and they thought, this is a people, either companions, who emulate a great religion and who have met a truly great man, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we find that this is something that is ingrained. So the West, even where they have taken control over certain Islamic countries for the last 25 years, for an extended period of time, and they try to propagate other faiths and other religions, you will find that the Muslims, they will adhere to their religion due to this character that they have built up.
وهذا خلاصة ما يتعلق بهذه الرسالة اللطيفة، وأسأل الله الكريم رب العرش العظيم أن يجعلنا وإياكم دعاة إلى الدين الحق، وأن ينفع بنا وبكم حيثما كنا، وأن يجعلنا مباركين أينما كنا، وأن يبارك في أعمارنا، وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
This is a summary of that which is contained within this precious treatise, and I ask Allah the Most High to make us all callers to Allah, to the truth, and to make us blessed wherever we may be, and all praises are due to Allah, Lord of all creation.
وإياكم بارك الله فيكم.
شيخنا أحسن الله إليكم. مثلا ما هي الطريقة الصحيحة لدعوة الأهل إذا كانوا عندهم بدع مثلا؟
نعم، الطريقة الصحيحة لدعوة الأهل إذا كان عندهم بدع مبني على أمرين. الأول الترغيب في التمسك بالسنة ابتداء، وأهمية بيان مكانة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومنزلته في نفوسهم، ثم بيان أضرار هذه البدع، فإنهم يقبلون إن شاء الله تبارك وتعالى، وهو اتخاذ الحكمة والموعظة الحسنة والمجادلة بالتي هي أحسن.
أحسن الله عليكم. So the question was, what's your advice, or what's the way in which we give da'wah to our family who are persistent of one in relation? Our Sheikh Mawlana Muzaffar said that this is built upon two fundamental principles. First, the individual should encourage them with following the guidance of the Sunnah. So they should show and indicate the virtues of doing so, and also the status and the rank of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, so he can appear great within their souls.